It's hard to ignore that childhood has changed in a lot of ways. And one of the most striking reasons is the role technology is playing in it. From the NPR Network and KPBS, this is Screen Time, a podcast featuring conversations about technology and kids in today's digital age. Listen to Screen Time wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, February 20th. Lower speed limits could be coming to San Diego soon. More on why next, but first, let's do the headlines. There's been growing conversation centered around the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, also known as the SAVE Act. It passed in the House last week. Our San Diego delegation voted along party lines, with the four Democrats voting against the measure, while Republican Daryl Issa voted in support. In its current form, it would require voters to provide proof of citizenship and a photo ID when voting. It's already illegal for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. The bill will next be considered in the Senate. Opponents of the SAVE Act say it will make voting more difficult, possibly excluding millions of Americans. Supporters of the measure say current law is not strong enough and documentary proof is needed. We've been getting a significant amount of rain all week long, and now the city of San Diego is releasing water from Lake Hodges into the San Dieguito River as a required safety measurement. The Division of Safety of Dams for California requires that the city keep the Hodges Reservoir below 280 feet of elevation. The elevation limit serves as a way to protect downstream communities and make sure operations of the dam remain safe. Trains won't be running along the coast between San Diego and Oceanside this weekend. That's so more infrastructure work and routine maintenance can take place. On Monday, regularly scheduled service will resume. Maintenance will take place in Del Mar, Carlsbad, San Diego, and Miramar Hill as well. The North County Transit District says that these weekend closures happen periodically throughout the year so crews can complete any preventative maintenance and to advance any major railroad projects. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
San Diego County is known for being one of America's most expensive regions. Locals are feeling the squeeze and looking for solutions. KPBS's new series, Price of San Diego, delves into the rising cost of groceries, childcare, car insurance, and even our beloved California burrito. You won't want to miss this ongoing series live now at kpbs.org/priceofsandiego.
San Diego is preparing to lower speed limits on more than 20% of the city's roadway network. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says traffic safety advocates are applauding the changes.
Historically, speed limits in California have been based on the actual driving speeds measured in a traffic survey. A new state law gives cities more discretion to set speed limits based on safety data. Councilmember Stephen Whitburn said Thursday that traffic deaths in San Diego are still too high.
Clearly, there is much more that has to be done. And as we heard today in the presentation and from many of those speaking, vehicles traveling at unsafe speeds are a big part of the problem.
The plan to reduce speed limits still needs a vote from the full city council. City staff estimate implementing the plan by installing new speed limit signage could take another year and cost $2.4 million. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
The city of San Diego is nearly $8 billion short of the money it needs to bring its infrastructure up to snuff over the next 5 years. Reporter John Carroll says that finding is in a new report presented to a city council committee yesterday.
The report looks at the needs between fiscal years 2027 and 2031. Stormwater infrastructure is far and away the biggest item on the list, with more than $5 billion needed, but only about $425 million available for it. And there are other needs, too, for the police and fire departments, among others. Councilmember Marty Von Wilpert says there's a growing need for new buildings and for maintaining the old ones.
I see this chasm growing. We need more housing, but we also need more public safety infrastructure to meet the needs of our citizenry.
Thursday's meeting was just informational. All of it will be considered by the full city council in an upcoming meeting, and that's when the decisions will be made about what gets funded and what doesn't. John Carroll, KPBS News.
A national nurses union held a day of action across 8 states yesterday to protest immigration enforcement. 3 of those protests were here in San Diego County. Reporter Jacob Ayer says the nurses are calling federal immigration enforcement one of the country's top public health threats.
I'm out! Protesters with National Nurses United gathered Thursday to demand Congress stop funding Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Patrol. Registered nurse Kendall Hargrove says ICE enforcement has become more brazen under the Trump administration.
People in the hospital should feel like they can come to seek care and to not be in fear of persecution.
In a statement, the Department of Homeland Security said ICE does not conduct enforcement at hospitals. Locally, the nurses union staged protests at the UC San Diego Health's Hillcrest and La Jolla Medical Centers and Palomar Medical Center Poway. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
National City's new affordable housing project hasn't opened yet, but it's already in high demand. iNews Source intern Jenna Ramiskel has more.
Over 1,000 residents want to live at Union Tower, but the complex has only 94 units. Households must meet income requirements to be eligible. 70 units will initially be reserved for National City residents. The rest are reserved for local veterans who were previously unhoused. Councilmember Jose Rodriguez says the project will help with the city's top issue.
Every time I engage folks, it's the high price of rent, and it's just the difficulty to make ends meet.
Officials will use a lottery process to select applicants. Move-in day is expected for mid-June. For KPBS, I'm iNews Source intern Jenna Ramiskel.
iNews Source is an independently funded nonprofit partner of KPBS. This story is a part of our Public Matters partnership. To find out more, go to kpbs.org/public matters. The Department of Veterans Affairs is pulling back on a new policy announced this week that would have changed how it determines disability benefits. Military and veterans reporter Andrew Dyer says backlash to the rule was immediate and, at least for now, effective.
The interim rule announced Tuesday would have reduced a veteran's disability compensation if their condition was managed with medication or treatment, potentially costing veterans thousands of dollars a month. Janessa Goldbeck is a San Diego Marine Corps veteran and CEO of the nonprofit Vet Voice Foundation. She says such a standard would ignore the lifelong issues some veterans face after military service.
Is a person who has lost their limb in battle and using a wheelchair suddenly less disabled because they are able to use a wheelchair? Absolutely not. It's outrageous.
Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, and disabled American veterans are just some of the groups pushing back on the VA. VA Secretary Doug Collins announced on X Thursday the agency would immediately suspend the rule. San Diego attorney Craig Kendler helps veterans navigate the VA claims process. He says despite being called off, he thinks it's only a matter of time.
The real question is, do I think that standard will ultimately be implemented? Yes. I think that long term, now it may not be, you know, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it's coming.
Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
A KPBS investigation found the North County Transit District scaled back fare enforcement due to an increasing number of employees reporting assaults. Reporter Elaine Alfaro says despite efforts to protect staff, assaults have still tripled in recent years.
Dara Olivares has been riding the North County Transit District trains off and on for about a decade. She says she used to feel safe, but not in recent years.
Usually when I'm going to Escondido, I'm coming back late, so I'm always worried, you know, that they're going to be an attendant on there, how many people are going to be on the train, you know, is anybody going to save me if there's a problem, you know?
She's called security a few times, once after a rider was yelling profanities and taking off their clothes. This behavior is symptomatic of increasing crime on public transit that experts say is affecting the entire country. Assaults on public transit nationwide more than doubled in the last decade, according to the Federal Bureau of Transportation Statistics. Yuko Nakanishi is a researcher who studies safety and security on public transit. She says crime on public transit has become especially alarming since the pandemic.
Crime is still a problem in transit, and experts believe that there's been a post-pandemic shift for the worse. Agencies are facing new or worsening security hurdles.
Assaults on North County trains, the Coaster and Sprinter, have tripled since 2018. Nakanishi says that tracks with the struggles the district has had with fare evasion.
Fare issues are a major contributing factor in operator assault.
Since 2023, about a third of Coaster riders and more than half of Sprinter riders were fare evaders, according to a KPBS analysis of North County Transit District ridership data. The district's CEO, Sean Donaghy, acknowledges the challenges the agency is facing with fare evasion and assault.
And we've seen a pretty specific increase in issues that have occurred with our frontline employees, either at customer service hubs or on the bus or on the train.
Nakanishi says assaults can result in injuries, trauma, and PTSD for victims, and have damaging effects on the entire organization.
The impact of assault on transit employees is devastating. Fear of assault drives absenteeism, early retirements, and operator attrition.
Donaghy receives a text whenever an employee is assaulted.
It's very tough for me. It's very emotional for me to see those text messages.
KPBS spoke to former code compliance inspectors who say they experienced multiple situations in which they felt threatened. In the last 5 years, the employee turnover rate in the district has ranged from 15% to 26%. All of this has led the transit agency to take a different approach to fare enforcement in recent years. In short, fare evaders on the trains are not cited by district employees.
Inform, not enforce to us is that it's every employee's obligation to inform what the fare is. If someone chooses to not pay that fare, we do not intervene at that moment for the safety of the employee.
Experts say education efforts like this to tell passengers of the rules can help shift public behavior on trains. But the lack of enforcement creates its own problems, a general sense of lawlessness on the trains. Donaghy says it comes down to what people think they can get away with on public transit. He says law enforcement cites individuals for their crimes, but
somewhere beyond that, they get lost. And that's extremely frustrating. I think it's very difficult at times for us to manage the way that people are acting at our transit centers or on our buses or equipment because they feel emboldened to do so because they know that the repercussions will not be there.
The district does have security contracts with the sheriff's office and a private security company. Sheriff deputies respond to instances of reported assaults and can take action. They can also cite individuals for fare evasion. Olivares, the rider KPBS spoke with on the Sprinter, made no mention of plans to stop riding the trains, but hopes more enforcement comes soon.
It would be nice if they had more attendants or security or somebody on the train. I think the most trouble occurs when they see that there's not an attendant.
Elaine Alfaro, KPBS News.
Journalist Scott Rodd contributed research and reporting to this investigation. This weekend, San Diego native and entrepreneur Terrence Hosley celebrates the one-year anniversary of his storefront, The Hometown Wave. Arts reporter Audie McAfee spoke with him about what inspired the store and why community is at its core.
Terrence Hosley has been into fashion since he was a kid. A decade ago, he started his first streetwear brand, Roots Before Seats. That became the foundation for his current brand, San Diego Native, or SDN, which he founded in 2020.
And I wanted to create something that connected San Diego through our shared love for San Diego, but through fashion and something I enjoyed and loved.
Although the brand has found success, Hosley says he wanted to build a space where creatives could collaborate in the San Diego community. A year ago, that dream became a reality in the form of a storefront known as the Hometown Wave. He says he's especially grateful to celebrate its anniversary during Black History Month.
You know, I want this to be a month of celebrating every year because not a lot of businesses make it to the next year. So to be able to be a Black-owned business, a Black entrepreneur, and be able to open up and celebrate, you know, every February is like, it's a win. It's the best thing ever.
The celebration runs from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday at the Hometown Wave in El Cerrito. Audie McAfee, KPBS News.
As we do for you each and every Friday, here are some weekend events that you and yours can take part in. Happening today and Saturday is the 45th annual tribute to reggae legends. It's also known as Bob Marley Day and is happening at World Beat Cultural Center. A website for the event says reggae music carries a powerful message of unity, peace, and awareness of social inequities. On Saturday, all eyes are on Snapdragon Stadium as your San Diego FC begins their 2026 MLS regular season. Diehard soccer fans will, of course, be in attendance, but just in case you need more convincing, the club recently released their new food menu. It includes local staples and partners with some fan-favorite businesses as well. And if you never had a chance to experience the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters, then Sunday is your chance. Doors open at 2 p.m. for the Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour taking place at Pechanga Arena. Expect some gravity-defying dunks and a whole lot of energy. Whatever you decide to do this weekend, please enjoy and be safe. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
The Tijuana and San Diego borderlands are brimming with captivating stories of people whose lives are shaped by the connection between Mexico and the U.S. On the Port of Entry podcast, we delve into those stories. Listen to Port of Entry wherever you get your podcasts.